As we prepare to turn to God's word in Romans, let's pray together our prayer for illumination. Oh God, you have spoken to us your divine and saving words. Illumine the souls of us sinners to comprehend what we read, that we do not become simply hearers of your spiritual words, but doers of good deeds, true pursuers of faith, having a blameless life and a conduct without reproach in Christ our Lord, with whom you are blessed and glorified, together with your all-holy and good and life-giving Spirit, now and forever and to the ages. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, reading verses 12 through 17. And as we read together, listen for what the Word of God is saying to you in your lives, in your situation today, whatever it may be. Hear now the Word of the Lord. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. This is the word of the Lord. Sometimes, when you hear the word Trinity, or you think about God as three in one, the eyes start to glaze over. You have remembrances of perhaps catechism class when you were a kid and someone trying to explain how God can be three and yet one. I thought about showing this really fun video about that concept, but decided against it for today. You know, it's maybe a little bit irreverent for Sunday morning. But I think that we misunderstand the Trinity at times when we try to understand it too much, when we try to explain it too much. We instead should step back from all of the machinations that we make around, well, God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, the Holy Spirit, three and yet one. Oh man, it's so confusing when we try to make it a math problem especially. So let's step back from all of that and instead think about the relationship between the three and what it says to us about the world in which we live, the world that God created. We read in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And we have this image of this watery chaos and the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. In John chapter 1, we hear John describe Jesus as the Word through which the world was created. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing would have been made that has been made. It's this incredible image of God the Father speaking the word of Jesus Christ, let there be light, in the midst of the Spirit hovering over the watery chaos, and out of this divine relationship comes forth God's creation. And this wonderful sense of God playing in the clay in the Garden of Eden and forming and shaping creatures and breathing the Spirit of God into the humans. And this sense that the life that we live is deeply rooted in our identity as the children of God. Science has pointed to this fact as we've come to learn more and more and more about the world in which we live. Science tells us that the building blocks of creation, the very atoms and the subatomic particles of which we are created, do not exist as single solitary elements, but instead are always in relationship with each other. If you became an expert in quantum physics, we've got a couple of scientists in the room here, there's this realization that all of the little particles exist in relationship with each other. The world that God created is a world that has relationship as the very basic matter of creation. And so it stands to reason that we, made up of all of those tiny elements, might also be creatures that rely on relationship as a reflection of who God is from eternity, a God who is always in relationship. And so our very identity has the trademark of relationship. And what is it that Paul says? That at our most basic, we have been adopted as sons and daughters of God, the children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, who uttered those words, Abba, Father, and enables us to utter them as well in this familial relationship. And so Paul writes, because of that, because all of us are children of God at the core of our very nature, that enables us to have Christian unity with each other. Of course, Paul recognizes that we also have sinful nature, and that we have this sin in our flesh, the misdeeds of the body. He writes, for if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Well, what are the misdeeds of the body? What are the misdeeds of the flesh? What is sin when it comes right down to it? It's cutting ourselves off from other people. It's thinking ourselves more important than someone else. It's taking our own needs and our own desires selfishly into account instead of looking to the needs and desires of another person. If you think about all of the problems that exist in our world, all of the sin, all of the conflict, all of the wars, and all of the arguing up on Capitol Hill, and all of the animosity that we find on social media, does it not boil down to the basic building block of selfishness? Putting my own needs in front of the needs of someone else. Imagining that I'm more important than another person. Paul calls that selfishness the misdeeds of the body. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. We see that in nature. We see that in creation. We see that in our world. When a person is cut off from relationship, For a few hours, it might seem nice. For a few days, you might call that a vacation. For a few years, we call it solitary confinement. And it's a punishment. And it leads to death. In the early days of the pandemic, when we were all afraid to be together, we suffered as a result of that. What started off as perhaps a welcome respite from the world became suffocating. And when we were able to gather back together as a church, even in the limited ways, people relayed that experience as a breath of fresh air, as life, as being in that relationship that people so need in order for their own mental health, in order for their own stability. It's because God created us to be in relationship, to reflect the divine relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we believe in as Trinity. I imagine what our world might be like if we all embraced the basic understanding of ourselves as children of God, which means that we are brothers and sisters. Now, I'm an only child. Didn't grow up with any siblings. I'm baffled still by sibling rivalry. I see it played out all around me every day. Not naming names, but just to give you an idea, there is such a thing as sibling rivalry. But at our core, we are family. At our core, we love each other and we look out for each other. Sure, we might fight like cats and dogs, but when it comes to the outside world, we defend each other. We look out for each other's needs and wants and desires. And that's what it means to be children of God. That's what it means to reflect this relationship of the Trinity. It's imperfect in our lives. And it's hard for us to imagine this perfect relationship that exists in heaven between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each distinct persons and yet so perfectly and beautifully in community, expressing what diversity looks like, its strength. We often see it as weakness. We often see differences as something to be fought about instead of something to be embraced. I'm glad we have differences here at Abundant Life Reformed Church. I'm glad we have folks who voted for Trump in the last election and voted for Biden in the last election and voted for the Green Party and the Libertarian and didn't vote at all. I'm glad that we have folks that speak different languages and come from different cultural backgrounds. It's a gift. It's a gift. That diversity is a gift. I'm glad that we're all becoming Cowboys fans slowly but surely as I wear you down over the course of many, many years. I mean, there are some things that we should be of one mind about, right? But we are indeed children of God. And Paul calls his beloved church in Rome to embrace that identity as heirs with Christ of the kingdom of God, and to treat one another and to treat the world as those whom God also loves, who are also children of God. It's who we're called to be. It's the identity that we are called to embrace and live out in our world each day. And when we do that, we are peacemakers. We are meek. We are humble. It may bring with it suffering, because sometimes it hurts to put someone else's needs ahead of our own. but it's who we're created to be. It's woven into our DNA. It's part of the building blocks of who we are as children of God. So let's embrace that identity and live it out in our world this week. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of relationship and for showing us what it is to live in relationship. Lord, help us to mirror the divine relationship that you experience each day. Help us to embrace our identity as the children of God and to live it out as peacemakers in our world. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it wouldn't be Trinity Sunday if we didn't try to get into the nitty-gritty a little bit of our belief around Trinity. We have the Belgic Confession as our helper in this. So I invite you to stand as we profess our faith in these words from one of the articles of the Belgic Confession. People of God, what do we believe? In keeping with this truth and word of God, we believe in one God, who is one single essence, in whom there are three persons, really, truly, and eternally distinct, according to their incommunicable properties, namely Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is the cause, origin, and source of all things, visible as well as invisible. The Son is the Word, the wisdom, and the image of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the eternal power and might proceeding from the Father and the Son. Nevertheless, this distinction does not divide God into three, since Scripture teaches us that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit each has his own subsistence distinguished by characteristics, yet in such a way that these three persons are only one God. It is evident, then, that the Father is not the Son, and that the Son is not the Father, and that likewise the Holy Spirit is neither the Father nor the Son. Nevertheless, these persons, thus distinct, are neither divided nor fused or mixed together. For the Father did not take on flesh, nor did the Spirit, but only the Son. The Father was never without his Son, nor without his Holy Spirit, since all these are equal from eternity in one and the same essence. There is neither a first nor a last, for all three are one in truth and power, in goodness and mercy. Amen.